ache of countless bruises and broken bones. That could have been much worse. As it was, we lost a good number of our recruits.
We did it!
A voice that I didn't recognize shouted from somewhere on the battlefield as the two massive corpses dissolved into nothingness, leaving a single large loot bag behind in their place. A weary cheer rose briefly into the air before Sierra's words cut it off and brought everyone back to the present.
We're not done just yet, Virtus. We have wounded still on the ground, she called out to the surviving recruits. Find and bring any injured to your group's healer and get everyone back on their feet. Then we'll have a reason to cheer.
Barely seconds after Sierra's shout, I heard footsteps rushing behind me, with Alistair's voice calling out to me as he approached.
Hey, Lyrian, I saw you take a nasty fall. Are you okay?
Mostly, I told the priest, waving at my foot as he came around me.
Fucked up my ankle when I landed, though.
Well, I can fix that easily enough,
he replied, reaching out to touch it with a glowing hand and channeling healing magic into it.
Anything else? I can't tell if that's your blood or one of the snakes.
The snakes, I said while shaking my head at the offer for more help and slowly rising to my feet, seeing both Freya and Amaranth crossing the field in my direction. But I'm fine otherwise. Just a few bumps and bruises that'll fade in a few minutes.
You should go check out the area where Drace's group fought the Emerald Maw Snake, though. It had a bite with paralytic venom, so we may still have wounded survivors out that way.
Shit! That's nasty,
Alistair acknowledged, grimacing at the mention of the venom.
All right, I'll go take a look right now.
Turning on his heel, the priest sped away from me and rushed out of sight, just as Freya and Amaranth came into range, the blonde-haired woman giving me an exasperated shake of her head as she met my gaze.
Well, that was more than we bargained for,
she said with a whisper, her eyes looking over my blood-covered face and armor.
You look like something out of a bad movie production.
I can imagine, I replied dryly, feeling the sticky blood starting to thicken as it seeped deeper into the chainmail and gambeson underneath. I already wasn't looking forward to cleaning my armor when we got back to Aldford.
We were lucky this didn't go bad for us.
It was a near thing, Freya agreed, her eyes meeting mine meaningfully. But we did learn something useful out of it all.
Yeah, I said, knowing that she was referring to Stanton's lack of participation in the battle. We certainly did.
He did not even attempt to raise his paw in defense of the group,
Amaranth stated with disgust as he began to lick a line of blood from his fur.
However, we were still victorious. That is all that matters at the moment.
I suppose so, I replied to the cat, appreciating his simple perspective.
At least there's one good thing about two rare boss creatures, Freya said, changing the subject as she inclined her head towards the loot bag that sat on the ground.
Experience and loot, I answered, meeting her eyes with a smile.
Everyone does seem to be fairly preoccupied at the moment,
Freya noted, taking a step towards the bag.
We should probably go sort through it, so we're just not standing around while everyone works.
I think that would be the fair thing to do, I said,
following the woman towards the loot bag, the two of us wasting no time and taking a look at what was inside. Giant snake meat. Quantity, 140. Item class, common. Item quality, good, plus 15%. Weight, 140 kilograms. Giant snake scales. Quantity, 120. Item class, common. Item quality, good, plus 15%. Weight, 60 kilograms. Giant snake eye. Quantity, 3. Item class, common. Item quality, good, plus 15%. Weight, 2 kilograms. Giant snake fang. Quantity, 2. Item class, common. Item quality, good, plus 15%. Weight, 2 kilograms. Giant snake venom gland. Quantity 2. Item class common. Item quality good. Plus 15%. Weight 2 kilograms. Giant snake bone. Quantity 80. Item class common. Item quality good. Plus 15%. Weight 80 kilograms.
Well, it looks like our food problems have been solved for the next little while, Freya commented as she looked through the bag. What are we going to do with 80 pieces of snake bone, though?
Hell if I know, I replied with a shrug. I might be able to use some pieces for crafting, but I think it can be used as fertilizer, too. The item quality for all this stuff is pretty high, I added with a note of excitement as I continued to read over the items. I should be able to craft some pretty high-quality gear with the scales, and maybe the fangs.
Hey! You two are going through the loot already?
Constantine's voice echoed out from behind me, causing both Frey and I to spin, seeing the rest of the party approaching.
What happened to waiting for us?
You guys were taking too long,
I grunted, waving my hand dismissively as my eyes focused on Drace, Caius, and Halcyon, the three of them flinching under my gaze, already knowing what I was going to say.
But now that you're all here, I have a few questions.
It wasn't our fault,
Caius said immediately.
We had to do it,
Drace stated.
We were pretty sure there was only one,
Halcyon exclaimed. The three paused to glare between one another with blank expressions, then back towards me.
Three different answers,
I replied thoughtfully, my hand rubbing my chin as I regarded the trio with a smile on my face. But something tells me that each of those responses is true.
They are!
Dre started to reply as a loud clatter of hooves interrupted him, followed by Stanton's sharp voice splitting the air.
What is the meaning of this? Are you trying to get us all killed?
The noble's harsh words died in his throat as we all turned to look towards him, glaring intently at his sudden intrusion. Scanning our faces, a visible wave of fear passed over his face before vanishing under an impassive mask.
How nice of you to join us, Stanton!
I greeted the man loudly, savoring the man's discomfort.
We missed you during the battle.
I let a pause hang in the air as I watched my words cause Stanton's lips to tighten, the implication behind my statement obvious to everyone within earshot.
My friends here were just about to inform us what happened in the woods and how they caught the snake's attention,
I continued, waving a hand in Drace's direction.
I'm sure you're curious to hear as well.
Of course,
Stanton replied in short, clipped tones that failed to hide the anger underneath as he kept his gaze locked onto mine.
We were deep in the forest, hunting with our recruits,
Halcyon began, catching my unspoken cue as his eyes shifted to Stanton.
You know, teaching them the value of looking up for snakes hidden in the trees, while also making sure not to step onto a badger den at the same time.
Basic stuff, I acknowledged, everyone in the circle save Stanton nodding in sync with me.
Right,
Halcyon continued.
So, we had just finished carving through a batch of creatures when one of our scouts, Amaron, found a beaten path cutting through the brush. We thought that it would be something interesting to follow, and we did, up until the point where it led us to this massive nest.
A nest?
Stanton queried hesitantly, his anger vanishing and slowly being replaced with concern.
A snake nest, Halcyon clarified. Full of eggs. Easily over 24 of them piled high, with the emerald moss snake perched high in the trees above it.
I struggled to keep my face impassive as Halcyon continued to explain his group's adventure through the forest, watching Stanton's face grow pale the longer that the mage spoke. Maybe this didn't turn out so bad after all, I thought with a thin smile, seeing a brief look of horror cross Stanton's face as Halcyon's story went on to outline their decision to steal the eggs from the snake's nest. Not bad at all.
Chapter 19. The clap of thunder, followed by a near torrential downpour of rain, heralded the end of any meaningful adventuring for the day, the heavy deluge having thankfully waited until we reached Crater Lake to start. After recovering from the battle with the snakes, we found ourselves down 4 adventurers on our return journey back to Aldford, a much lighter casualty count than I felt we deserved, given just how badly we were taken by surprise. In the end, our numbers saved us, I told myself, as Constantine, Amaranth, and I led our soggy group in the direction of the tree line, where the entrance to the Crater Lake ruin lay. Something that I'm sure hasn't been lost on Stanton.
I'm convinced that this region only has 2 types of weather, Constantine muttered from beside me. Heavy thunderstorms or crippling heat waves.
Still better than reality, I replied, rubbing a waterlogged glove across my face to clear my vision from all the rainwater pouring down. We're supposed to get another snowstorm this week.
Fuck! I can't even think of snow right now. Spring is supposed to be around the corner,
he grunted, his head perking up as he saw something ahead of us.
Finally! I think I see the entrance to the ruin. I take back all of my complaining when you got us all to dig it out. Hiding from a thunderstorm wasn't exactly what was on my mind when we did that, I started to tell the rogue, only to have him pull away from me as he rushed to get inside the now exposed tunnel that led into the lakeside ruins. Though I won't say I'm not eager to get out of this rain.
That makes for two of us,
Amaranth said to me as he bounded past, running after Constantine. Trudging forward through the downpour, I watched Constantine and Amaranth vanish into the freshly excavated opening that protruded from the hillside, before turning around to look behind me. Traveling closely behind, I saw the rest of our entourage, their expressions one of relief as they too sighted respite from the rain. You'll have to walk your horse through the tunnel, I called to Stanton as the adventurers slowly filtered their way into the tunnel, their voices echoing from the passage. You should hopefully be able to fit without too many problems. Stanton grunted in acknowledgement, the man having said little to me since the battle with the snakes, his bad mood going as far as to infect the rest of his group. But nevertheless, he motioned for Samuel to hold the animal steady before dismounting, his boots landing on the wet ground with a squish. Not giving any of us a second look, the silver-haired noble left the reins in Samuel's hands and waited his turn to enter the passageway, motioning sharply for Lazarus and his friends to join him in line. Content on waiting patiently for everyone else to enter the tunnel ahead of me, I ran a hand through my hair in an attempt to wring the excess water from it, watching both Samuel and Quincy lead Stanton's reluctant mount forward. Finding myself at the back of the line, I finally stepped into the tunnel behind the horse, keeping a fair distance behind it lest my presence spook it. The last thing I wanted at this point was to be kicked by a panicked animal in close quarters. It feels like ages since the first day I fell into here, I thought, as I slowly moved deeper into the ruin, my fingers tracing over the scars on the wall. Has it already been over a month since I started playing this game? Lost in thought, I lost track of time as we crept forward, knowing that the adventurers ahead of me would be busy admiring the small, decrepit ruin before filtering up the switchbacks and up towards the higher elevation. After steadily moving for a time, I eventually reached the shattered remains of the doorway and stepped into the long rectangular room, seeing my friends standing on one side of the room, with Stanton and his retinue on the other. The air was thick with tension as the two groups regarded one another warily, Lazarus and his friends having been watching us with guarded expressions ever since the battle. I can lead the horse up the switchbacks while you all look around, Sierra offered to Samuel, breaking the awkward silence that had filled the room, save for the agitated whinnies coming from Stanton's mount as it became more and more irritated by being underground. He's starting to get a bit nervous.
I think that might be a good idea,
Samuel replied, dodging the animal's half-hearted attempt to bite him before offering the reins to Sierra.
Here, and thanks.
No problem, Sierra said, accepting the reins and slowly leading the horse towards the far end of the room and into the passageway that led towards the switchbacks. I'll wait with him by the entrance up top. So, if you haven't guessed, I began, motioning to the room around me. This is the second Nefarian ruin that we found.
It certainly isn't as well preserved,
Quincy commented pessimistically as he looked around the room.
And the damage to it is rather considerable.
That's because it was nearly in the center of whatever destroyed the Nefarian city here, I said, motioning to the doorway that we had entered. I believe that when the city still existed, this chamber and the tunnel that we just passed through was once far under the city.
Which certainly fits what we know of the Nefar, Donovan agreed. The sewer system in Iberia, for example, goes quite deep.
You have no idea, Lazarus muttered. Runs nearly the entire length of Iberia, too.
Was there anything of interest in this rune when you first entered it?
Stanton asked, his expression markedly less excited than when he had visited the hub. Actually, yeah, I replied with a nod, motioning to Razor on my waist. There was an undead skeleton trapped in here, for ages, based on my guess. When I first entered the room, it attacked me, but I managed to kill it and recovered a relic from it that I used to create my sword. A spark of excitement surged through all the mages at my mention of the skeleton, their bored expression suddenly focusing on me with a laser-like intensity.
Lyrian, you didn't mention anything to me about finding a risen skeleton in here,
Donovan exclaimed. Hmm? I grunted in surprise, turning to look at Donovan, then back towards the others. I didn't think it that important to mention. It was just a skeleton.
Just a skeleton?
Stanton gasped, his face turning red as his hands reached out towards me, all the other mages sharing a similar look on their faces.
You really have no idea, do you?
Idea of what? I asked, glancing towards Lazarus and my friends, seeing confused looks on their faces as well. I don't understand.
That skeleton, Donovan began, may have been the first physical proof of the Nephar that we have ever even heard of. In all our time in Iberia, we have never as much as uncovered a shard of bone to prove that they truly existed.
Oh, I replied, the revelation causing me to pause. I had no idea.
We only have their creations to base any of our theories off, Samuel added. The structures they left behind, artifacts, collections of weapons and armor, but nothing to indicate how they may have looked.
We saw the Slave King,
Constantine interjected, glancing sharply at Samuel and Quincy.
Was that not a good enough look?
The Slave King brought himself into existence by forming his body out of aether,
Samuel replied, shaking his head.
For all we know, if he truly wanted to, he could have formed himself to appear as a dragon.
What did it look like?
Donovan asked.
Did it look any different than a human or elvish skeleton?
I really didn't think to pay attention to that sort of detail, I replied uneasily, feeling everyone's attention on me.
You have to remember something,
Quincy demanded. Well, it was pretty dark, and it was trying to kill me, I stated a bit defensively as I scanned the room, trying to remember my battle with the decaying commander. But I think that the skeleton was about my height, or at least would have been had he not been missing pieces of his arm and leg. It looked like he'd been killed by burns all over the one side of his body, well, at least before he rose once more. As for how he looked, I continued, racking my memory for any shred of detail that I could recall. I don't think it looked too different to how a typical human skeleton would. The skull may have been a little differently shaped, but it also wasn't in the best condition. It may have just been decay.
I see,
Stanton said with disappointment, the other mages echoing his sentiment.
There was nothing else in this chamber?
Nothing, I affirmed, waving my hands around at the debris that still filled the room. I picked through the debris that you see here and didn't find anything interesting. Just shards of metal from the broken door and some other scraps that may have once been furniture, ages ago. That's about it.
No one would have gone through the trouble to dig and carve this room out without some sort of purpose,
Quincy commented as he finished his inspection of the area.
Did you detect anything of interest with an aetherscope?
Actually, I never thought to scan the area, I said, looking over at Halcyon and Caius, knowing that it was Donovan's first time in the ruin. Did you guys?
I didn't,
Halcyon replied, shaking his head. Didn't cross my mind either, Caius admitted with a shrug. Well, no time like the present, I guess, I said as Quincy reached into his pocket and pulled out an Orovian aetherscope. The room fell silent as all the mages, myself included, followed the man's lead and drew their own aetherscopes, spreading out around the room, trusting in the wand to draw attention to any stray sources of magic that lingered in the area. Holding the length of bone firmly in my hand, I activated True Sight, instantly seeing the lingering shadows in the chamber fade away as my augmented vision pierced through the darkness. Walking slowly, I then scanned the room carefully, seeing nothing of interest appear in my vision at first glance, my feet eventually leading me towards the switchbacks and standing between the collapsed route leading downward and the other leading to the surface, when something finally appeared in my vision.
Huh!
I grunted in surprise as countless dark blue wisps appeared in my vision, the color indicating that whatever I was seeing was far away and nearly at the edge of my range.
I see something from over here!
You do?
Stanton's voice was the first to answer as everyone rushed to join me at the base of the switchbacks, their eyes focused intently at the wall straight ahead of us.
I just barely see something too,
Quincy added with excitement in his voice.
I'm not certain what it could be, however, it is very faint.
It is too scattered and small to be the ley line, Halcyon said as he slid beside me. Too faint as well. It's hard to tell exactly what it could be.
Oh! I saw something move!
Samuel's sudden shout caused all of us to flinch in surprise and look back at him, seeing him staring downwards at the collapsed route.
What do you see?
Donovan queried as we all followed Samuel's gaze, canting our heads towards the ground when the speechless mage didn't reply. Almost immediately after shifting my vision, I saw several bright blue and white wisps appear in my vision, their positions slowly moving beneath us. Judging from the brightness of the signatures, whatever they were much closer to us than the fainter signatures we'd just seen seconds earlier.
There is something beneath us,
I said excitedly while continuing to gaze downwards, some of the wisps blurring together into one indistinguishable blob of magic as they moved further away from us, towards the other signatures in the distance.
There must be another chamber deeper underground,
Quincy whispered while pointing at the blocked passage.
Possibly a lower level that was part of a larger network,
Samuel suggested, his eyes widening in excitement as he twisted to look back at Stanton and Quincy.
That would explain the signatures that we saw further away, and the ones moving.
Maybe, I replied, shifting my glance between the bright sources of magic beneath us and the fainter sources further away.
But what could it be? Possibly a route towards the ley line,
Samuel offered eagerly.
If the city once sat where the lake is now, then practicality would demand that the Nafar access the ley line where it passes under Oldford, instead of miles away at the other ruin.
How could you possibly know that?
Donovan interjected, dampening Samuel's excitement.
We hardly know enough about the Nafar to comment what was or wasn't practical for them, let alone how they used the ley lines in the first place to power their technology.
There was a pause as Samuel and Quincy turned their heads towards Stanton, the elder mage shaking his head slowly.
That statement is not entirely accurate,
Stanton said slowly, clearly choosing his words with care.
I don't understand,
Donovan replied flatly, suspicion evident in his voice.
What part of it exactly? Has there been a groundbreaking discovery about the Nafar since I departed Iberia?
No,
Stanton stated evasively, but didn't elaborate any further.
Then what the hell are you talking about?
Halcyon cut in before Donovan could reply, all of us shifting our attention away from our ether scopes and onto the noble.
You know something that you're not sharing.
Understatement of the fucking century there,
Sawyer muttered loud enough for everyone to hear.
Quiet,
Stanton demanded, turning his head to look at the red-armored warrior out of the corner of his eye.
I don't...
No, I think we've been quiet enough, Stanton,
Lazarus interrupted harshly.
We've just made a major discovery here. Be fucking honest for once in your life and tell them what they need to know.
You are in no position to dictate anything to me,
Stanton growled, glaring at the man as he spoke.
The sooner you remember,
but I am,
I interrupted forcefully as I watched the argument unfold before me.
And I'm curious to hear the answer to Donovan's question.
Head spinning in my direction, Stanton's eyes narrowed as they landed on me, his words coming out in short and clipped tones.
That information is privileged.
We're in the middle of an underground ruin on the edge of the frontier, for fuck's sake!
Constantine practically yelled, taking the words right out of my mouth.
Who the hell are we gonna tell?
Regardless of where a secret is unveiled, the moment that it is let loose, it no longer is under your control.
Stanton countered, glaring at Constantine's profanity.
That's a bullshit answer, Stanton,
I growled, tired of the man's evasiveness.
Remember, you're the one who came to us for help, and it's obvious that you know something that could make sense of what we all just saw. So either you tell us now, or we find out once we dig our way down there.
Silence fell over the room as all our attention focused onto Stanton, the noble staring back at me with half of a scowl on his face as he weighed my words carefully.
What I am about to tell you does not go beyond this audience, he ground out, meeting the eyes of everyone he could in the cramped hallway. Is that clear?
Like crystal, I answered, hearing a chorus of weary acknowledgments around me.
Some time ago, a chamber, a massive chamber, was discovered in the depths below Iberia by my house, he began, speaking as if every single word he said caused him physical pain. After studying the equipment recovered from it for a time, we believe that we have a theoretical understanding of how the Nafar drew ether from the ley line.
Some time ago?
Donovan repeated as he pushed past Halcyon beside me and took a step forward toward Stanton, his voice hardening with anger.
How long is some time ago?
A decade. Perhaps longer by now, Stanton answered with a dismissive shake of his head. I'm not certain.
House Daenerys has hidden such a monumental discovery from Iberia for a decade?
Donovan spat, his arms trembling as if he wanted to physically strike the noble.
You bastards! You have no right to—
Watch your tongue!
Stanton snapped, his voice taking on a dangerous tone as it echoed through the tunnel we'd crammed ourselves in.
Do you think the other houses aren't doing the same with their discoveries? Do not be so naive!
That doesn't make it right,
Donovan exclaimed.
Right and wrong belong in the province of justicars and magistrates, Stanton spat back at the mage. They are foolhardy things to cling to when your nation's existence is at stake.
God damn you nobles,
Donovan began to snarl, his anger starting to get the better of him. Donovan, now is not the time, I called his name loudly, reaching out to grab the man by the arm, despite understanding his anger, and pulled him behind me before he did something rash. Giving the mage a sharp look, I turned my attention back towards Stanton and continued to press him for answers. How did the Nafar tap the ley line? I asked in a sharp tone that I hoped would make the noble reconsider an evasive answer.
Physically, Stanton replied, by sinking large poles of an ether-conductive metal into it, which we believe drew the ether into reservoirs for storage and transport. The scale of their work in that chamber dwarfed anything that we had ever seen before.
So they could have done the same here as well, I said, watching Stanton's face carefully for any sign that he may be hiding or evading the truth.
I am certain they did, Stanton stated. Based on the signatures that we all saw through the ether scopes, I believe there is a lower section to these runes that continues southward in the direction of the ley line. With luck, it may still be intact, at least up until the point of the rupture.
You think that the rupture happened where they tapped it, I stated, catching on to the words left unsaid by the noble.
It is likely, Quincy acknowledged, answering for Stanton. Whatever event that destroyed the Nefarian city here would have been cataclysmic, enough to cause the bedrock that surrounds us to shift, if whatever the Nefar built into the ley line shifted as well.
It would have torn the ley line right open, I finished.
We have no way of knowing until we see it with our own eyes, Stanton said, motioning with a hand towards the collapsed route deeper into the ruin. We should begin excavation at once, and with haste. If this happens to be a dead end, or if we need to dig further...
Digging out a collapsed tunnel isn't something you rush,
Drace interjected, already knowing that the project would fall to him to complete.
We'd be looking at several days, if not a week or more, to clear a way down, and that's assuming that we don't run into any complications.
Time is not on our side for this,
Stanton began to warn impatiently before Drace cut him off.
Which is why we're gonna do this right, the big man stated in an annoyed tone, refusing to back down. You're not gonna be the one who's swinging a pickaxe or carting stone away here, risking being buried alive if something goes wrong. A collapse, because we rushed, will set us back even further.
do what you must to ensure the integrity of the tunnel, but do it quickly,
Stanton ordered, his face twitching at Drace's implication that he was of no help.
But we all know what is at stake here.
We do, I agreed, feeling the same surge of annoyance as I knew Drace did. But with that in mind, however, I think this is a good time to make a few points clear before we go any further.
Oh?
Stanton asked, his feigned curiosity unable to completely hide the steel in his voice.
What may those be?
I heard Lazarus grunt from behind Stanton's back as he shook his head at me. First and foremost, going forward, you are going to stop spouting orders at us, I said, hearing Lazarus curse as I ignored his warning. You are a guest in Oldford and have no standing whatsoever in this town beyond what people give you as a courtesy due to your rank in Iberia, a courtesy that you will find waning the more you continue to overstep your authority.
Overstep myself?
Stanton seethed in between clenched teeth, his eyes widening in anger.
You're the one overstepping, Lyrian. You forget that my house owns Oldford, and I am here as its representative. Without its investment, this town wouldn't have ever even existed.
And without us, Oldford would have been raided by goblins, or destroyed by a horde of spiders, or captured by an army of adventurers, or razed to the ground by an Afarian slave king, I retorted, holding my fingers up in the air as I counted each event. Your house may have brought Oldford into existence with gold, but we paid for it in blood.
Your diligence in defending Oldford is appreciated, Stanton growled, his tone indicating the exact opposite. But your actions buy you no claim to the town over House Daenerys's.
I disagree, but that would be a matter for the Justicar to decide, should you wish to take it that far, I answered, feeling my friend shuffle around me as Quincy and Samuel moved to flank Stanton. But you bring up a good point about claims. Given that this ruin likely links to whatever's beneath us, Virtus will be extending its claim to it. And anything else found under Oldford, including this portion of the ley line. In fact, until one of us says otherwise, I don't want you anywhere near these ruins. We'll manage exploring the ruins and the ley line rupture ourselves from here on out.
What?
Samuel barked, his face red with anger as he joined the growing argument.
You cannot be serious in barring us from the ruins when the safety of Iberia is at stake.
You may be worried about Iberia, but my concern is the future of Oldford, I retorted angrily. We're the ones with the most to lose if the ley line erupts, after all. I'm just making sure that it remains in control of those most invested in Oldford's survival. And right now, I don't trust any of you further than I could spit.
This is ridiculous.
Stanton seethed, thrusting out a finger at me as he spoke.
Just who do you think you are? You cannot take a task such as this onto yourself single-handedly. You do not have the background to even begin to understand what is buried underneath here.
Virtus is hardly single-handed, Stanton. We are the largest guild in this region by far, I replied, waving at my friends behind me. Besides, what right do you have to contest anything we claim? Staring at me silently, Stanton opened, then closed his mouth, watching me closely as he processed what I said, his eyes narrowing as he stared at me.
Today was a show, wasn't it? The runes, the snakes, everything!
We wanted to show you what living on the frontier truly means, I replied, matching the man's stare unflinchingly. And to drive home that a person's worth is measured by their actions, not the titles that they have attached to their name. Today, you couldn't even be bothered to raise your hand in our defense when the snakes attacked us, and that action alone told us all we need to know about you. I don't trust you to have my back going into this ruin, and until that changes, you're not going to step foot inside it.
Are you calling me a coward?
Stanton's shout reached dangerous levels as he took a single rage-filled step towards me before Lazarus's big hand slammed into the noble's shoulder and gripped it tightly.
That is enough,
Lazarus shouted, effortlessly swatting Stanton's flailing hands away as Sawyer and Ransom forced themselves past Quincy and Samuel to stand before me.
I'm putting a stop to this before someone else does something even more stupid. Get out of our way. We're leaving.
Let go of me, you filthy criminal!
Stanton shouted as Lazarus pushed him forward and towards the switchbacks, whispering something in his ear that had him fall immediately silent. Criminal? Stanton's choice of words caused my eyebrow to rise. Seeing a momentary wince pass over both Sawyer and Ransom's faces as we stepped out of their path, allowing them a clear passage up the switchbacks.
What the fuck, Lyrian?
Lazarus spat, giving me an angry glare as he passed me before leading Stanton up the switchbacks and up to the surface, the two mages following close behind. The sound of angry feet slowly faded away as the group turned a corner and continued their rush upwards, leaving us staring at one another in silence, until Constantine's words filled the air.
I think they took the news pretty well, all things considered.
Chapter 20. A roaring clap of thunder rolled through the air, followed by several flashes of lightning that lit up the sky, jagged lines of electricity filling my vision. Blinking the afterimages away, I pulled my attention away from the raging storm overhead and looked down at Crater Lake below me, the very same ridgeline that I had once jumped off inches away from my feet. The lake rippled with the impact of countless droplets, the heavy deluge only having intensified as the evening progressed.
Is it wise to be standing out in the open?
Amaranth asked me from his position in a tree behind me, having found refuge on a branch.
You may be struck by a bolt of light.
Probably not, I admitted to the cat from my position in the rain, now completely soaked to the bone. But I'm wet anyway, and sitting out in the rain is relaxing in its own way.
If you say so,
he replied doubtfully, his mental voice trailing off as the two of us then sat in silence for a while. Lazarus has sure taken his sweet time in getting here, I mused as I shifted my gaze from the lake and onto the distant horizon. If he's not here soon, I'll head back and call it a night. After our argument with Stanton and his subsequent removal from the lakeside ruin by Lazarus, we had returned to Aldford in two separate groups, wondering if the noble was going to press Aldwyn or Dyer about our claims straight away. But to our surprise, we learned that after arriving back at the town, Stanton had immediately stormed up to his room in the town hall and locked himself in, Veronia eventually joining him after a time. None of us had any idea what to make of the noble's reaction, but decided it was best to let both Aldwyn and Dyer know what happened, in case Stanton tried to do something sneaky behind our backs. No sooner than I had finished my meeting with the Bon, however, did Lazarus send me a rather curt private message, asking me to meet him privately, one-on-one, somewhere outside of Aldford. Which is how I ended up here, feet now dangling over the edge of a 100-foot drop and watching a summer thunderstorm sweep through the land. I wonder what Stanton's next move will be, I thought, while bringing up my quest log and reading through the latest quest update that I'd received after we had left the Crater Lake ruins. He should have known we're not going to give up our claims on the ruins, and he badly needed an attitude adjustment before he mouthed off to an adventure with less patience than us. Quest: The Ruptured Ley Line. After escorting Lord Stanton and his retinue to the Crater Lake ruins and exploring the area, you have discovered that there may in fact be a lower level buried deeper underground. During the excitement of the discovery, Stanton revealed that the Nefar have been known to excavate underground chambers in order to reach and tap the ley line. Based on his experience, he believes that there is a good chance that an underground ruin stretches far enough to reach the ley line. Your next step is now to try and excavate the collapsed passage leading deeper into the ruins. Escort Lord Stanton to the ancient transport hub, 1 out of 1. Escort Lord Stanton to the Crater Lake ruins, 1 out of 1. Attempt to excavate the collapsed passage and see where it leads, 0 out of 1. Ley line sealed, 0 out of 1. Difficulty: legendary. Reward: experience and renown. Penalty for failure: Aldford and the surrounding region will be destroyed.
I hear footsteps,
Amaranth warned me, causing me to dismiss my quest log from my vision and push myself up onto my feet.
It seems he has come alone.
Good, I replied to my familiar. Let me know if anyone else approaches, but don't interfere between the two of us. I'm expecting him to be angry. Turning to face the forest behind me, I activated True Sight, watching the dark shadows fade away as I spotted Lazarus force himself out of the woods, his eyes immediately landing on me.
You picked a goddamn far enough place to meet, he spat as he stalked out of the woods and into the rain.
You wanted a private place, I replied, spreading my hands out wide and indicating the edge of the ridge. This is about as private as it gets around here.
Good, because we're about to have it out right fucking here.
Lazarus growled as he walked towards me, cracking his knuckles ominously.
Your fucking stunt could have killed Stanton today and cost the three of us everything. What the hell were you thinking? I told you that we need to keep the fucking prick alive.
Oh, he seems in perfectly fine health to me, I replied to Lazarus, unfazed by the amount of profanity coming out of his mouth or his threatening advance. In fact, I'd be surprised if the man got close enough to the battle to even tell what color the snakes were.
That doesn't change the fact that you fucking pulled them on purpose!
Lazarus shouted as he loomed over me and thrust a finger into my face.
What the fuck made you think that was a good idea?
We needed to see what you were all made of, I said evenly, looking up at the half-giant's angry expression. And if we could count on you if the shit hit the fan.
That's it?
Lazarus exclaimed, taking a step back from me and clenching his fist.
You risked everything just to see if we'd fight?
And it paid off, I stated, waving my hand over the man's shoulder, indicating his sword. You, Sawyer, and Ransom fought while Stanton, Samuel, and Quincy cowered. If they had any shred of courage on them, they would have figured out some way to contribute to the battle. Stanton is a mage on a horse, for fuck's sake. He could have run circles around those snakes.
Stanton may be a colossal fucking ass, but the only damn thing I've been able to get him to agree on is not to put his life in needless danger,
Lazarus countered.
It is our job to take care of shit that could kill him, because if he dies,
then your hostages die, I interrupted, watching Lazarus's face shift into a scowl. Yeah, I remember what you told me.
And it didn't even make you think twice about what you planned to do?
He barked back at me.
If he died!
Lazarus paused for a moment to shake his head, a dark expression coming over his face.
As if that wasn't enough, you then fucking shoved your claim down his throat at the ruin and banned him from the site. You had to know he would take that badly.
Of course I knew that. That's why I picked my timing so carefully, I replied to Lazarus.
But what other choice did I have? Stanton kept us all waiting for the entire morning, ordered us around all day, and refused to share even the barest shred of information with us until it was pried from his jaw. He needed to know where the line was. You and your friends may be under his thumb, but we sure as hell aren't.
God damn it, Lyrian. Stanton, and by extension, Emilia, isn't someone you can fuck around with this way,
Lazarus said.
There has to be more to Stanton than either of us have seen so far. And as for that bitch, she wields actual power back in Iberia and can make your life miserable in more ways than one.
Iberia's about to be drawn into a long and drawn-out war with the Ascendancy, which is going to leave Aldford out here completely alone and cut off, I stated, seeing Lazarus's eyes narrow.
I couldn't care less about what either of them can do, and more about being dragged into a war that we couldn't possibly survive. Not yet, anyway.
So this is your response to our warning, then?
Lazarus questioned, his eyes burning with anger as they focused on me.
Thanks, but no thanks.
It's your damned warning that brought all of this on! I exclaimed acidly. You swoop in and tell us things that we couldn't possibly verify, then expect things to fall into place? No! Things don't work like that! You want us to trust you? Send us your feed. All of it. Completely uncut. Then we can start talking if what we see matches up to what you've told us.
Out of the fucking question,
Lazarus snapped angrily.
I don't trust you with my feed after what you did today.
Are you sure it has anything to do with what happened today, or is it because there's something you don't want us to see? I shot back, matching the man's tone.
Stanton called you a criminal earlier today, just before you pulled him away. I wonder what he meant by that.
Keep wondering,
he spat.
That's none of your business.
Then I think we're done here, I said dismissively, moving to step around Lazarus. You want my help? Then your feed is my price. Come find me when you're ready to deal.
No,
Lazarus growled, his hand reaching out to grab my arm as I passed by him and gripped it tightly.
I have too much on the line to deal with this shit.
Let go of me, Lazarus, I said dangerously as I turned to face the half-giant.
Now. I'm sorry, Lyrian, but I can't do that.
Lazarus's grip tightened on my arm until I felt the chainmail links begin to dig into my skin.
If you're not gonna help me willingly, then I'm gonna have to do something rash.
Like kill me? I asked, feeling adrenaline shoot through me as I prepared myself for a fight. You know that won't change anything. Death doesn't matter to us.
Not to us, no, Lazarus agreed. But to some of the other people in town, death is rather permanent.
You wouldn't dare, I snarled as I yanked hard on my arm and tore it free of Lazarus's grip, taking a step back.
With what I have on the line,
Lazarus replied wearily as he moved to follow me, his hands balling themselves into fists.
I wouldn't even hesitate.
This isn't gonna end well for you, Lazarus, I warned as I shifted into a ready stance, hands hanging loosely by my side. Stop this while you still can.
We're past that point, Lyrian,
Lazarus said, shaking his head, a heartbeat before he lunged forward, a fist sweeping through the air where my head had just been.
Lear!
My familiar's concerned voice rang through my head before I cut it off with a mental shout. Don't interfere! I sent to Amaranth as I backed away from the half-giant's sudden assault. We need to work this out ourselves. Putting Amaranth's reply out of my mind, I dodged another heavy punch, then sidestepped a snap kick aimed at my leg that would have surely sent me crashing to the ground with broken bones. Careful to keep my balance on the slick mud and stone beneath my feet, I focused my attention on Lazarus, who wasted no time in pressing his attack. He's stronger and faster than me, I noted as his rapid assault had me entirely on the defensive, forcing me to give up ground, lest I get caught with a flurry of blows I couldn't hope to recover from. But he's all offense, with barely a second thought to his guard or form. I think I have a skill level or two on him at the very least. Analyzing Lazarus's timing, I abandoned my steady retreat and stepped forward into his latest attack, ducking under a flying fist as it passed over my shoulder. Darting into his guard, I lashed out with my own punch, catching the half-giant high on the cheek before slipping past him and reversing our positions.
Fighting me isn't gonna solve anything,
I called out to the man as a crash of thunder echoed from the sky, drowning out my words.
Like hell it isn't,
Lazarus barked angrily as he whirled around to face me, barely noticing that my blow had split his cheek. Rushing forward, Lazarus continued his relentless assault, his fists and feet blurring through the air with more anger than skill, forcing me to dance around the man's attacks. The storm raging above us soon faded from our conscious thoughts, as our world shrank to one of moves and countermoves, water flying through the air from timely blocks, a sharp gasp of air marking a blow that one of us were too slow to intercept or avoid. The slight skill advantage I had over Lazarus in unarmed combat allowed me to mitigate his physical prowess, but not enough to remain unscathed forever. My body ached from more than a dozen heavy blows that I was forced to absorb, the worst among them emanating from my side, leaving me taking sharp, pained breaths from what could only be a trio of cracked ribs. In comparison, Lazarus's face was almost unrecognizable, one eye completely swollen shut, and his nose plastered to one side. The heavy cuirass that had covered his chest had forced me to focus my attacks on the exposed portions of his body, lest I break a hand punching solid metal. Thankfully, my unarmed mastery ability lets me land heavier hits than my strength would normally allow, I thought with a grimace as I accepted a glancing blow across my ear while stepping deep into Lazarus's guard and landing a punishing knee into the side of his kidney, where his breastplate didn't protect. Otherwise, I'd be in real trouble. Gasping from my attack, Lazarus's balance finally faltered, causing him to fall to one knee and clutch at his side, a bitter curse filling the air.
Fuck!
He slurred angrily, his one open eye looking up at me with rage as a red aura of magic suddenly bloomed around his body.
Enough!
What the hell are you doing, Lazarus? I shouted back at the man, reaching for Razor's hilt, completely surprised to see a wave of magic surge through the half-giant, not having pegged him as a spellcaster. You do not want to escalate this!
Maybe I do!
Lazarus roared as his hand began to reach up to the greatsword strapped to his back.
Damn it, Lazarus!
Not waiting for the man to draw his sword, I lunged forward with my hand outstretched, triggering Blinkstep as I moved, intending to put an end to whatever spell he was weaving.
Stop!
My vision blurring as I teleported, I reappeared practically on top of Lazarus. At the same moment, a bolt of lightning crossed the sky, leaving me staring down at the soaked half-giant's face. My hand followed a heartbeat afterward, gripping Lazarus by the side of the throat, and immediately began to drain his mana. But instead of the cool, refreshing flow of mana that I expected, I felt the lance of fire shoot up my arm, causing my body to burn from within as if my blood had become liquid metal.
Ah!
I had no idea who the scream came from as my hand clenched down around Lazarus's throat, refusing to let go. The burning energy continued to pour into my body, causing my vision to turn crimson as an unfathomable torrent of anger swelled from somewhere deep inside me. Reeling from the unexpected wave of emotion, I looked down at Lazarus as if I stood somewhere outside of my own body, seeing his flailing arm knock my hand free of its grip around his throat. Immediately, I felt the searing rush of fire vanish from my arm, leaving only the energy that I'd already absorbed roiling inside me, causing my veins to burn as it looked for a way out. Staggering half a step away from Lazarus, I saw red letters appear in my vision, notifying me of my new condition. You have absorbed energy from a Sigil of Rage. You have gained the temporary buff, Sigil of Rage. You gained +10 to strength and agility, but will suffer 10 points of damage per second for the next 15 seconds.
What the hell did I just absorb?
I asked in a mental panic, trying to make sense of what was happening to me. As the energy raging twisted inside me, a crimson veil falling over my vision. A shout from Lazarus brought me back to the present as the half-giant shot to his feet and lunged forward, the red aura surrounding him intensifying. Moving faster than I thought possible, I rushed to meet his attack. Any thought for strategy lost in the haze of rage that now consumed me. I felt Lazarus's fist smash into my face as we collided into one another, the blow causing my head to twist awkwardly to one side, while I simultaneously drove my knee into his groin. Pain was strangely absent as I recovered from the attack and swung my head back towards Lazarus, my fist coming up in a savage uppercut, catching him on the chin, only to have him shrug it off and backhand me away. Fighting like savage animals, we pummeled one another wildly, both of us lost in the grip of an all-consuming rage. The booming echo of thunder overhead drowned out our cries as anger-fueled fists bruised flesh and in more than one case cracked bone. Anyone who had looked up from Crater Lake at that moment would have seen the two of us fighting at the very edge of the ridge, where one misstep could send someone plunging down into the lake below. But despite the energy that coursed through us, our bodies still had limits. And before long, the two of us found ourselves pressed right up against them, the burning rage that had consumed us fading away, leaving us both collapsing down to our knees in pain.
"Had enough?"
I wheezed, spitting out a mouthful of blood as the haze that had filled my vision faded away, leaving me feeling completely spent and wondering what had just come over me.
"Never!"
Lazarus gasped as he tried to force himself back up onto his feet, but failed.
As long as I'm alive, I'll still fight.
You don't need to fight me, Lazarus,
I replied, grimacing in pain as all the injuries from our brawl reasserted themselves now that the strange energy I had absorbed from Lazarus was gone.
What the hell is a Sigil of Rage?
A curse. A gift,
the half-giant said vaguely as he attempted to push himself off the ground for a second time, this time managing to rise shakily to his feet.
It's what started all of this, in a way.
What do you mean? I asked, struggling to get up off the ground as Lazarus took a step towards me, his feet sliding dangerously close to the edge of the ridge.
It doesn't matter,
he answered with a shake of his head as he continued to stagger forward.
I'm sorry about this, Lyrian, but I really don't have a choice.
So am I, Lazarus, I said, watching the man's step as he advanced towards me, my muscles slowly tensing for action. You do what you feel you need to do, but there's one thing that you should keep in mind.
I'm all ears,
he grunted half-heartedly as he raised his fists once more. If I go down, I began, watching Lazarus's one working eye widen in surprise as I suddenly sprang forward at him.
I'm damn gonna make sure I take you with me.
What? Lazarus managed a single gasp as I ducked under his reflexive punch and leaped on top of him, wrapping my arms around his neck. Moving faster than he could react, I used the momentum of my leap to swing my legs past the half-giant and pull him off balance, causing his feet to slide out from under him. The two of us plummeted off the ridge. I barely had enough time to process my second fall into Crater Lake as Lazarus flailed wildly in my grip before the two of us hit the water with a thunderous splash. Tangled up in one another, we immediately began to sink, the faint light around us vanishing. Thrashing desperately in an attempt to break my grip, Lazarus's head spun to face me, his one eye wide with shock as I grabbed hold of his hands and wrapped my legs around his chest, allowing our combined weight to take us down into the depths of the lake.
"I'll drown us both if that's what it takes."
I stared back into Lazarus's eye without blinking as he began to struggle harder and harder the deeper we sank. I felt myself being thrown around as he twisted under me, unable to find the proper leverage to break free, his motions gradually working up into a frenzy. Hanging on for dear life for what seemed like ages, I eventually saw a flashing notification appear in the corner of my vision, alerting me of just how much air I had left in me. Oxygen remaining, 49 out of 100.
Not much longer left,
I thought as the numbers slowly began to tick down and my lungs began to burn. Seconds later, I felt Lazarus go slack in my arms, all fight suddenly going out of his body, causing me to look down at him in surprise. Staring back up at me in resignation, I saw the defeated gaze of the half-giant meet my eye, then shake his head before motioning up to the surface with his chin. Wary that he might be trying to trick me, I looked back at him blankly for several heartbeats, only to have him blink twice at me before closing his eye in acceptance. Sinking through the water peacefully, Lazarus and I continued our slow descent towards the bottom of the lake, as I weighed his sudden change in attitude, the man having completely given up on resisting.
"Don't make me regret this, Lazarus,"
I thought towards the man as I let go of his wrists and saw his eye open in response. Pointing upwards towards the surface with one hand, I untangled myself from the man and kicked myself away from him before starting the ascent. Racing against time, I then turned my attention away from Lazarus and clawed my way upwards, my vision beginning to narrow as my lungs used up the last bits of air stored inside them. Every stroke brought me closer to the surface until it seemed like it was only inches away, a last-ditch kick propelling me the final distance, my head breaking free of the water. Sucking in a deep, life-bringing breath of air, I felt my head spin as I filled my lungs, my cloudy vision restoring itself with every gasp I took. Splashing wildly as I trod water, I saw Lazarus's head break the surface a short distance away from me, his cough echoing over the water.
"Fine,"
he panted after he had a chance to regain his breath.
"You can have it."
"Your feed?"
I asked, swimming closer towards him.
"Yeah,"
Lazarus clarified, resignation clear in his voice.
"My feed."
"All of it?" I couldn't help but confirm, despite feeling a sense of relief shoot through me.
"Including what you told us about Stanton?"
"All of it,"
Lazarus confirmed.
"But Stanton's portion is still locked for a few more days."
"That's fine," I replied, having already expected that to be the case.
"We can wait." "There's something else you should know too, Lyrian,"
Lazarus said to me.
"Before you watch the feed, so you're not surprised."
"What is it?"
I queried, feeling a sense of unease at Lazarus's words.
"Sawyer, Ransom, and I are all members of a thieves' guild in Iberia,"
he told me, his head barely bobbing above the surface as he spoke.
"And everything that's happened in Iberia is our fault."
What do you mean?"
I questioned, taken aback by Lazarus's revelation. "There are thieves' guilds in Iberia?"
"The noble houses, being in everyone's throats, the chaos in the city, all of it,"
Lazarus said, his eyes staring at me intently as he spoke.
"All of it is our fault. We caused it."
Chapter 21. Wednesday, March 13th, 2047, 6:27 a.m., Oldford, the Crafting Hall.
"Oh, damn it!"
I cursed angrily as I looked down at the ragged length of snakeskin that I just ruined, my mind having slipped away from the task at hand for the briefest moments.
That was the last piece, too!
With a sigh, I set down my knife and reached out to grab the ruined mass of leather and threw it into my inventory without a second thought. I'll deal with that later, when I don't constantly have yesterday on my mind. Closing my eyes for a moment, I brought up my hands and rubbed my face, admitting to myself that the bombshell that Lazarus had dropped on me had left me unsettled, going as far as to infect my mood this morning, leaving me making silly mistakes. For what had to be the 100th time, I brought up my quest log, reviewing the latest update that had appeared after my savage brawl with Lazarus. Quest update. Statecraft, Deception and Veracity. After showing Lord Stanton both of the Nefarian ruins in the region, you decided to confront him about his arrogant behavior and to reinforce your claims to the ruins. This prompted an argument between the